We've read about feet not slipping, or feet slipping. And David in his Psalms quite often boasts to God that his feet have not slipped. 2 Samuel 22:37, he says, "You have enlarged my steps under me, my feet have not slipped." That's in Psalm 18 as well. And you ask, when did he write that? And it says he said this when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. You could take it as having been said when he became king after Saul died, or you could take it as, maybe he did say it then, but as if he used it also at the end of his life. Because 2 Samuel 22, you're coming towards the end of David's life. He is now at the end, and then we have this psalm that he comes out with. What does he mean? My feet have not slipped. I mean, his feet did slip over this whole business with Bathsheba. And Psalm 30, verse 6, his more mature reflection is that he had been wrong to say, "I shall never slip." The AV says, "I shall never be moved," but it's this idea of feet slipping. His feet did slip over that whole thing with Bathsheba. You've got the same phrase used about what he did there in Psalm 38:16, Psalm 94:18. Quite clearly, he did slip. And Psalm 30, he admits at the time of the sin with Bathsheba that he'd been wrong to say, "I shall never slip." In his earlier Psalms, he boasts that his feet would never slip. "I shall never be moved," but it's the word for slip. Psalm 17, verse 5, 21, verse 7, 55, 22, 62, verses 2 and 6. He's very confident that his feet are not going to slip, and they do. And yet, at the end of his life, he says, "My feet have not slipped," when they had. And Solomon in the Proverbs is very often justifying and whitewashing his father, especially over the business with Bathsheba. Remember, of course, that David and Bathsheba were Solomon's parents. And he's trying to justify himself against all the various power groups that were interested in the throne and trying to justify himself against them. He says, Proverbs 10:30, "The righteous are never moved. They never slip." Well, Solomon, your mum and dad did, your father particularly. And he sort of brushes it under the carpet, I think, in Proverbs 25, verse 26, when he says that, well, a righteous man slips or falls seven times and just gets up again. That's true. But I think that he is sort of mentioning this in the context of the phrase slipping or feet slipping being used about David's sin with Bathsheba, Solomon's own mother, as if he's sort of whitewashing it and sort of reframing it as if, well, yeah, these sort of whoopsies do happen. No, it might happen seven times, but don't worry, you just carry on. Well, actually, what David did with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, that alone warranted the death penalty. It wasn't a little whoopsie. It wasn't just a minor slip-up. And I think that although it's true that the righteous fall seven times, and many times, that's the idea, and rise up again, well, yeah, I think that he's still using this within the context of justifying his parents, just as we can use God's truth to justify ourselves when we want to. If we're naturally argumentative or whatever, we may justify that by saying, well, I'm fighting for God's truth. If we are prone to gossiping about people, we may say, oh, but I'm doing this in order to, protect the brotherhood. I'm doing this for this or whatever, supposedly good reason. And so I think the truth is that David, at the end of his life, reframed his sin with Bathsheba, and he says that my feet have not slipped, when in fact they had. And like his son Solomon, he just pushes it off as a bit of a whoopsie. I suppose you could say that he was so confident in imputed righteousness that he felt that he could say that I'm perfect, I have not sinned, because God's righteousness was indeed imputed to him. But I think that from the way that he tells Solomon at the end of his life to make sure he kills Shimei and basically Joab, instead of forgiving them, when David had actually forgiven Shimei for mocking him and throwing stones at him, etc., when he was running away from Absalom, I would say that, like all of us really, David had slipped in his recognition of his own sinfulness. He'd slipped in his recognition of how he should have been and his recognition of God's grace. And looking back in our lives, have we not all had the same? That we've been very close to God in a time of our own personal sin or our own personal crisis, and we walk afterwards very humbly. But then over the years that slips away and we forget that. And we do not abide in that sense of smallness in our own eyes and that sense of humility and gentleness which God's grace to us has elicited. And although David will be in the kingdom, I think he dies, as it were, very far from that maturity which he should have had. And that's the warning to us, because we should not compare ourselves amongst ourselves, as I think David did against Saul and other sinful people, and think, well, therefore I'm okay. We've got to come to the end of our days with a very confident belief that we shall be in the kingdom, and yet also a clear awareness that that confidence is only because of God's grace. And if we sort of continually justify and reframe our own earlier sins and failings, then we won't have that. So David's example, I think, well, I'm not saying he won't be in the kingdom, but I think his example here is really relevant to all of us. And from a simple point of view, also, don't be spiritually overconfident. Don't be like him saying, my feet shall never be moved. The righteous never slip. Well, that would be akin to the foolish virgins who go out to meet their Lord, confident that they've got enough oil, and they don't take oil with them. And I think the point of the parable is that it is those who are aware of their own weakness, those who think, well, I shall probably run out of oil, spirituality, I better take some more because I know what I'm like. It's those who enter the kingdom. Whereas those who are confident they've got enough and that they will stay awake and they will be ready, it's those who actually are not, finally, in God's kingdom.